Good morning, everyone. It is my privilege indeed to share with you the word that the Lord has laid on my heart, and it is a word of encouragement. I got mightily encouraged as I prepared it, and I just thought about the people that I know and how much they already put these principles into practice already. Some of them, I think, without even necessarily realizing how biblical they are and how important they are in our Christian walk. So the title of my message this morning is The Impact of the One Another Lifestyle. So we're going to be looking at quite a lot of scripture today, so I hope you've got your Bible with you. And don't forget that if you ever wanted a copy, which is pretty much a full transcript of the notes of our sermons, then we can send them to you as a PDF file through email, or we're very happy to print them out and post them to you as well. So there will be a lot of scriptures today that you might want to look up in your own time. Hallelujah. I just love the way that there are so many multifaceted angles and intricacies in the things of God. Just how big a clever multi-dimensional jigsaw that God has got happening, and how he knows what's going on in the world, in our lives, in our thoughts, all those things. And he very, very cleverly weaves them all together, and he has a plan and he has a purpose, and he is working all those things out simultaneously in lives, and they are always for our good. And he takes and uses things that we might feel are small and insignificant, but he uses those to impact others, sometimes in ways that we're not even aware. And we're excited by what God is already beginning to do in these days as he pours his Spirit out on all flesh, just as he promised. But we often stop and think, oh Lord, how could you possibly use me? What sort of impact can I possibly have on the unsaved and those around me who need to hear from you? We might come up with excuses that are very well documented in the Bible. Well, I'm too old now, or I'm too young, doesn't apply to me. I can't even string a sentence together very well, Lord, and I certainly don't have the courage, and I'm actually worried that I will say the wrong thing. God has heard all these excuses before, and they make no difference to him when it comes to using his people. So we all have a part to play in God's plans and purposes at this time, and he will use us. We are alive, and we are in God's kingdom for this specific time and for his specific purposes, and we need to come to terms with that. We need to rest in that. We need to trust him that he will work his purposes out, because ultimately the ability is his and the availability is ours. So we don't have to have everything together. We don't have to have that ability that we think we might need. We just have to trust in the Lord who is able and tell him that we are available to be used. So this morning, from many scriptures, as I said, and from testimonies, we will see that the impact of the one another lifestyle is very specific in fulfilling God's commands. We'll be encouraged by the fact that even the little that we can bring to God, he will take and he will multiply and he will use for his glory. The first scripture, which is such a powerful one, is from John 13, verses 34 to 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So we see here that God's extreme love for us and his command to us to love one another undergirds everything. And that's always summed up in that wonderful scripture, John 3:16. Listen to this from the Amplified. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction or be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Hallelujah. That is the depths to which God loves us. And just as he tells us he's loved us, he commands us to love one another. And God greatly loves and dearly prizes us all. He sent his Son to prove that love, to die in our place. In return, those who turn to him wholeheartedly, believe in him, trust in him, cling to and rely upon him, will not come to destruction, but will receive eternal life. Hallelujah. Wonderful promise. Aren't we more serious than we ever have been about praying for and trusting God with our prodigals and with our yet-to-be-saved loved ones? We know that time is short and we want to do all that we can to see them come to salvation. Let's just remind ourselves of our text from John 13. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. When we love and serve each other in the way that God has loved us and commands us to treat others, then all people will know that we are his disciples. The testimony will be so out there, it will be so obvious, it will cause a response in people. We need to show others how loving and caring their Creator is and how delightful it is to belong to him. Then God can use that to soften hearts and to draw people to himself. So how do we express and demonstrate that love for one another? In our Bibles, there are many passages that tell us what we should do for one another to express this. These one another verses can only be lived out in relationship with other believers, which in turn flows out to others who are yet to be saved. If we are isolated by choice as Christians, then we cannot fulfill these one another commandments because we're not having that contact and that interaction with others. Christians don't just go to church. We are the church. If God's people are the church, then the body of Christ must show forth God's thoughts, words, and actions. So we need to consider these things seriously before the Lord. We need to reflect on them. And where we fall short, we simply need to ask the Lord to help us to line up with the things that are in his word, because the promises are there when we do that. Did you know that there are well over 50 one another commands in the New Testament? Now, when these things are being fulfilled by Christians in the church, the body of Christ is built up. When we fulfill these in our community or in our family, we begin to see God doing amazing things around us as well as in us and through us. So we need to get into scripture now. We need to look at these. The first one that probably comes out of the John 13, 34 to 35 is that we need to love one another. But look how many more love one another verses there are. Romans 12, verse 10a, love one another with brotherly affection. Romans 13, 8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9-10. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, do this more and more. Hallelujah. It continues. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. 1 John 3, verse 11, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3, 23, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. 1 John 4, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Isn't that wonderful that it's evident? It's evident that whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 1 John 4, 11-12, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. I just want to share a very small recent, well, a long ago start for this testimony, but a very recent finish to it. I met my two dear friends in 1970 at Wellington Teachers College. In 1971, they went off to a Christian camp and came back born again. Something special had happened, and I wanted what they had. Their love for one another was very evident, and it impacted me. Their love and their prayers for me never wavered. They put no expectation or pressure on me. They just loved me, and we did a lot of things together. In 1973, so a couple of years later, Peter and I did become born-again Christians. Now, we caught up with these two dear friends just a couple of weeks ago down in Wellington, and God's love still shone through. One friend is in a wheelchair now, and her yet-to-be-saved caregiver was impacted by our love for one another that goes back 56 years. So even little things like just being with those from the family of God, and if you haven't seen them for a little while, it's always a wonderful reunion. But look how that impacted another person who was part of our group together on the day that we met. We're praying for that lovely caregiver. So how else can we impact those around us for God's purposes by using the one another commands? We're told to honour and prefer one another. Romans 12, verse 10, be kindly affectioned to one another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another. I love the way the Complete Jewish Bible renders that verse. Love each other devotedly and with brotherly love, and set examples for each other in showing respect. I think in this day and age that being courteous and polite, putting others ahead of ourselves, speaks volumes in our very self-absorbed, egotistic world. We need to be graciously thanking those who've even tried to help us out, even if it's not been successful. Maybe it's over the telephone or it's online or you've waited 40 minutes. Your call is important to us. It's still important for us to be gracious, not to be angry or frustrated or have a go at them because it's taken so long. Let's be people of a different spirit. If it's encouraging and blessing the checkout operator at the supermarket or the bank teller, the receptionist where you may go, the cleaner, the lawnmower, the gardener. All these genuinely godly gestures show others that we are indeed people of a different spirit. And because God loves them, he gives us that ability to love them too in this, and show that in these ways. Someone once said, a smile is a curved line that sets a lot of things straight. A listening ear without interruption is a blessed rarity these days. Asking questions when appropriate, empathising, showing interest, offering to assist somehow. Just on Monday at our Powerhouse prayer meeting, one of our lovely senior saints, Graham, shared with us that he had met a man struggling in the care home in where they live. And after helping this man, Graham asked, "Can I pray for you?" "I don't believe in God," came the reply. "I know. I didn't ask if you believed in God. I asked, can I pray for you?" The man quietly said yes, and Graham prayed for him. So just a really gentle, loving, simple, kind act. A lovely response. "I didn't ask whether you believed in God. I asked if I could pray for you." Some of these things are good to tuck away in case we ever find ourselves in those situations. So we are to honour and to prefer one another. It's God's instruction to us. It is such a blessing in our lives as well as in the life of the recipient. Even the simplicity of greeting one another warmly and genuinely speaks volumes. Scripture says, "Greet and welcome one another warmly." Romans 16:16, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you." 1 Corinthians 16:20, "All the brothers send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss." 1 Peter 5:14, "Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ." Romans 15:7, "Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." We thank God that in our church on a Sunday morning, visitors and church family all receive a very warm welcome. They receive that at the door, in the foyer, in the auditorium, and it's every week. For new people who have come in on their own, someone always offers, "Would you like to come and sit with me, or like to come and sit with the group that I sit with?" Only once did we hear back that someone felt a little bit over-welcomed, but I'd rather we welcomed folk than no one spoke to visitors at all. It's scriptural to greet one another warmly. Show hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." And listen to that same verse from the Amplified Bible. "Practice hospitality to one another, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable. Be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way who are of Christ's body. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously, without complaining," and here's the key, "but as representing him, as a representative of Christ. Show hospitality to one another." When we were first saved and had managed to scrape together a personal loan, a first mortgage and a second mortgage to buy our first house, there was not much left over to be able to entertain others. But our friends were all in the same boat. So after church, someone would pick up a loaf of bread, someone would bring some tomatoes and a bit of salad, someone else might get some ham and some cheese, and we'd enjoy fellowship together over a sandwich. No flash menu, no money spent to excess, but lots of wonderful growing times, lots of lovely laughter and fellowship with one another. Show hospitality to one another. We have discovered repeatedly that no matter what we give away, what we give out, what we share with others, always comes back multiplied. Proverbs 15:17 says, "Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it." Selah. Encouraging fellowship is so important, where we build one another up in our love and in our faith. It is essential for a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy spirit. Invite Christian friends and non-Christian friends to kick a bit of sand along the beach with you. Join others for a coffee. Go for a stroll through the park. Go on a bushwalk. Go to the zoo. Go to the museum or a good wholesome movie. Several ladies in our fellowship go op shopping with one another. And also don't forget about being part of a sports team. There's lots of ways where we can be sharing the love of the Lord, where we can be showing kindness and hospitality to one another. Paul signs off his letter to the Corinthians in this way. This is in 2 Corinthians 13:11. "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." Now let's look at this verse again from the Amplified through the eyes of our one another statements. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Rejoice. Be strengthened, perfected, completed, made what you ought to be. Be encouraged and consoled and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind one with another. Live in peace. And then the God of love, who is the source of affection, goodwill, love and benevolence toward men, and the author and the promoter of peace, will be with you." So out of that verse we get, rejoice with one another, strengthen one another, expect that God through the Holy Spirit will use one another to perfect and to complete and to make us into the people he wants us to be. Encourage, console and comfort one another. Be of the same agreeable mind with one another and be at peace with one another. Then look at the blessings that God sends. The God of love, who is affectionate, loving, has good thoughts towards you for your well-being and the well-being of others, will presence himself with you with his authority and his plans for peace. His shalom will be with you. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve. These one another scriptures are all confirmed elsewhere throughout the Word of God. And so we can see that this is not just a one-off statement. This is something that is reiterated many a time throughout the Word. Live in harmony, be at peace, and be kind to one another. Romans 12:16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight." In other words, your lifestyle of getting on with all others through a position of humility and your humble disposition will speak volumes to the lowly, to those around you. We don't come across as having it all together or knowing all the answers or having something that's superior to where anybody else is. We come across with that wanting to be in harmony, wanting to associate with the lowly, wanting to identify like the Lord did in humility. Jesus came for the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit, and those bowed down by the world. We must have that same genuine compassion for those who are hurting. And there's a lot out there at the moment who are hurting. Mark 9, verse 50 says, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Be at peace. It's a choice. Sometimes we have to agree to disagree on things, but does it really matter? Let's choose to be at peace with one another. Ephesians 4:32 from the Amplified says, "And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you." Useful, helpful, kind, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, and loving-hearted. And that leads us to another important one another command that was mentioned in verse 32. This is forgive one another. The end of that verse, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Colossians 3:13b, "And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." Now, forgiving one another is not easy. In fact, this might be one of the hardest things you'll ever have to do. Forgiving someone can be really painful. To forgive completely, not counting their sins against them, not holding on to those, not justifying yourself, not allowing this to affect how we see them, is no small matter. When the Lord enables us to do this, it feels, in some small measure, like Calvary love. It's what Jesus did for us. Just take it to the Lord. If you're struggling in that area, take it to the Lord. Ask Him to help you. Another statement is that we are to bear with one another. Ephesians 4:2-3 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." To bear with one another doesn't mean to simply tolerate others. It means to extend grace, to walk in patience, to choose compassion, even when it feels undeserved. These things that are difficult to do in our Christian walk start with a choice. Start with understanding that this is what the Word of God says, and if He says it in His Word, then I need to put it into practice. If I'm struggling with it, I ask Him for help to be able to do it, and He will come through for us every single time. And then there is the statement that we are to care for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:25 says, "That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." In the Amplified, that reads this way, "But the members all alike should have a mutual interest in and care for one another." A mutual interest in and care for one another. We must be genuine in our relationships. We had a little saying when our girls were small children: be kind and caring, friendly and sharing. And we'd always say, look after one another, especially when they were out together. So we were building up from a young age the care in our children's lives. And if that's something that's new to you, it can be built into your life as well. Confess your sins and pray for one another. James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working." If there's anything in our walk that keeps us humble, it's sharing with another person I've sinned. Please will you pray for me. Please will you stand with me. It keeps us in that place of humility, confession of our to one another of our sins and praying for one another. Scripture is very clear about these other one another commands, and I'm just going to list them here for you on the slide, and we're not going to go into the verses, but if you want a copy of these or you're going to take a screenshot, then you can look these verses up in your time. We are to encourage one another. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 and Hebrews 10:25. We are to build one another up, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. We are to exhort one another, Hebrews 3:13. We are to instruct one another, Romans 15:14. We are to teach and admonish one another and sing together, Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. We are to stir up one another to love and good works, Hebrews 10:24. We are to do good to one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:15. We are to serve one another, Galatians 5:13 and 1 Peter 4:10. We are to be humble toward one another, 1 Peter 5:5. We are to submit to one another, Ephesians 5:21. We are to speak the truth to one another, Ephesians 4:25 and Colossians 3:9. We said at the beginning that the scriptures were absolutely full of these one another verses, and we'd be here all day if I was going to expound on any of those, but as you can see that this is such an important aspect of our walk with the Lord. This is such a godly thing to be developing in our lives, these one another statements and the impact that they have not only in our lives, but in the lives of those who are yet to be saved is immeasurable. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us live out these verses in our church family and in our community so that we can show the love of Christ to others. An old saying we used to hear many years ago was, "You might be the only Bible that some people ever read." So help me, Lord, to be a good ambassador for you. Help me, Lord, to live these one another scriptures. The simplicity of fulfilling that being an ambassador for Christ, this is that we find in the New Testament, all these things describe to us how to live an authentic Christian life by using those two simple words, one another. The one another's are heavenly behaviours carried out in earthly circumstances. They are the love of Christ being displayed through us and in us and to others day by day by day. All of these one another scriptures and commands that we've looked at can be simplified into five categories. We fulfill the one another commands when we have his mind, offer his welcome, speak his words, show his love, and give his grace. We'll just look at each one briefly. We fulfill the one another commands when we have his mind. 1 Corinthians 2:16 in the Amplified says, "For who has known or understood the mind, the counsels and purposes of the Lord, so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ, the Messiah, and do hold the thoughts, feelings and purposes of his heart." What an amazing statement that is. What an absolute privilege it is to hold the thoughts, the feelings and the purposes of Christ's own heart. That's quite a responsibility, and we need the Lord's help to do that. We fulfill the one another commands when we offer his welcome. Romans 15:7 says, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you." Jesus came to us with a welcome. He drew us near. He drew us through the door of his humble heart. And now we, his people, walk in that same love, and therefore we can offer that same welcome to others. If Christ left heaven to welcome sinners like us, then we can cross the church foyer to welcome difficult saints or people we might not necessarily get along with. If Jesus opened his heart to let complete strangers in, then we can open our hearts and our homes to others, no matter how strange. And if he greeted us in our lostness, then surely we can greet someone else in their loneliness. Quite a number of years ago now, an ex-gang member arrived in our Sunday morning meeting. Wearing leathers, but with Christian themes, hands loaded with rings and the cap on his head back to front. Peter saw him coming in the door and thought, well, here's a test for our people. And very soon this chap was chatting and laughing away with a lovely elderly lady from our church. And he and his wife moved in and lived with another family from our church. And even though he's moved away up north, he still keeps in touch. We offered the Lord's welcome to this man. It was genuine, and it came from the oldest to the youngest, and we were blessed because of that welcome. We fulfill the one another commands when we speak his words. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Encourage one another and build one another up." Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another every day." Christians are a word people, a speaking people, a communicating people, which means, of course, that we also need to be a listening people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "We can speak the word of God faithfully and accurately only when we listen with the ears of God." We can speak the word of God faithfully and accurately, but only when we listen with the ears of God. Two ears, one mouth. I think the Lord wants us to use them in that ratio. We fulfill the one another commands when we show his love. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, "Always seek to do good to one another." As his disciples, we are not mere mouths to one another, but we're also hands and feet and shoulders. We not only speak his love, but we show it. Sometimes serving others may often feel like a costlier form of love than speech. It's one thing to speak comforting words, it's another to sit for long hours as a comforting presence. It's one thing to encourage somebody who's carrying a heavy burden. It's another thing to bend your shoulder to the load. This kind of love interrupts your day's plans with untimely requests and lays hands on evenings and weekends. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, and we are here to love and serve others. In the one another kingdom of Christ, believers count it their high honour to serve others. And all of us, like the woman in Mark 14, gladly break our precious alabaster flasks, our time, our gifts, our money, our homes, our food, our clothing, our shelter, to bless and anoint one another in the body of Christ. We fulfill the one another commands when we give his grace. Titus 2:11 to 13 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. His grace embodies all the one another's that we have looked at this morning. We need to put these one another graces into practice, and we need to practice the one another's for each other and for the world. The world groans looking to see the revelation of the sons of God. It begins and it ends with love. The command to love one another is the most repeated and therefore the most important. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." The Lord reconciles us not only to himself, but to each other, recreating in us his one another love. As we put these one another's into practice within the family of God, coming to the communion table as Peter shared this morning, it forms a solid foundation for us to move out into the world, into the beaches, into the parks, into the coffee shops, into the supermarket lines, into the sports fields, the clubs, the schools, the neighbourhoods, just as the Holy Spirit guides and leads us, and the glory of God in our one another lifestyle will impact others. It will not go unnoticed. By this will all people know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you're watching this morning with someone else sitting in the room there with you, then can I encourage you to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to share with one another. Whatever the Lord has spoken to you from this word today, let's start putting these things into practice. And let's ask him to make us more aware so that we are more one another focused as the days and the weeks go on, because those opportunities are going to come and we are a one another people. The Lord bless you this morning.